Hi, this is John Billingsley, alias Dr. Phil Phlox from Enterprise. You are listening to Trekmate, matey.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Trekmate podcast. Its continuing mission, to entertain, enlighten, educate, and talk all things Trek. To boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry. We will get to the bottom of this.
All right. Ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses. I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
Hello and welcome to Trekmate. My name's Wayne Emery.
Hello everybody, my name's Jude Hawkins. And this week, or this episode, you're in for a bit of a treat. We've sort of inadvertently chosen to do a three-parter review of Enterprise, and we didn't actually mean to. We discussed on a previous episode that we wanted to get back to one of our favored things of the listeners or viewers on YouTube, where we've reviewed episodes of Star Trek, and we've just not watched enough old Star Trek in general, so we wanted to get back to that. So I said to Wayne, you choose an episode. You choose a series, choose an episode, as long as it's from the first five. So Wayne chose Enterprise, but the episode you chose, Wayne, as good as it was, I realized very quickly when watching it on Netflix, like, oh, this is part three of a three-parter, but I presume he meant to do that. He wouldn't do that by accident.
Until I phone you the next day and be like, I'm just about to watch the episode, and it's the third part of a three-parter.
Yeah. And I did watch it. I did watch. I thought, like, well, if he'd suggested to watch part two of a three-parter, I'd be like, why did you pick this? But because it was the third part, I was like, maybe he just really likes this episode and he's not bothered about the intro.
Well, funnily enough, as soon as I looked, I was like, no, we've got to start with episode one. Because I was just going through all the different synopsis of the episodes on Netflix.
Yeah, it's fair enough. You wouldn't know from just looking at it on Netflix. It doesn't tell you.
Yeah, I looked at it and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that. Let's watch that. And I just forgot that it was a part of three parts. So inadvertently, I made Jude do the homework for an episode that's going to come out in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, and which is okay. I actually enjoyed it, but it is weird watching part three of a three-part at first and then watching part one. But I will watch part two and I will watch part three again.
Yeah, so I think that's
what
we're going
to do.
I'll
try not to talk about part three, but
yeah. Well, I managed to just watch. I've decided I was going to do one episode at a time, so I've done part one, and now and then next week I'll watch part two, ready for it.
Yeah.
So and to be honest, I've been looking forward to rewatching a bit of Enterprise because
oh god, it's good. It's so good. I know people have heard this from us before, but it really is. I was so glad to get back to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to start my rewatch because I still not finished my last rewatch of Voyager, but I'm very tempted to just jump on Enterprise after that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I still need to finish Voyager and TNG, but Enterprise, I love it. Absolutely love it. So,
and I'll talk about that more as we go on, maybe even in the first few minutes of. But anyway, shall I? No, God, we know this from listening to podcasts ourselves. It doesn't matter how much we're rambling on about it. They've already seen it on the title of the episode or the description.
Yeah, unless I just put in the description, Wayne and Jude revisit
a mystery three-part
episode. Yeah. Fuck it. That's what I'm doing. You lot ain't going to find out until Jude tells you.
Okay, so we are watching The Forge from Enterprise, which is on season 4. And it's episode 7, and I have no details about producers, directors, writers, or anything in front of me. So apologies for that.
Two shits.
No, I can tell you that part 1 and part 3 are great ahead of time. One thing I will say is watching the third part first is I didn't fully remember it. And I said to you on the phone the other night, like, I like that. I like it. I like the fact that there's so much Trek, as good as it is, because there's so much, especially when you're us, when you're you and me, it's hard to remember it all. And I like that. I like forgetting it and then feel like you're seeing it for the first time. You know the characters and the races and all that stuff, but...
Well, that's the thing, because unlike Stamper and Matt and us two, we've probably got the worst memories of any Star Trek podcasters.
I fully appreciate and respect their knowledge for Trek, and that's one of the things I love about those two guys. And the Engage Boys as well, they're a bit like that. But no, I'm glad to be me, like a bit dopey and forget this stuff.
Just means we get to enjoy it for a first time, like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, love it.
Oh, dear. Before we get on to that, funnily enough, me and the missus were binge-watching a program this week, and there was a character in it. It's a program called The Killing, so it's a drama.
I know the name, but I don't know anything about it.
On Disney Plus, it came out like about 2011 and ran for 4 seasons. And there's a woman playing a mother in it. I was like, I know that person, but I don't know where from. She's so familiar, and she's got like long wavy black hair. And I was just like, she has just such a familiar face. I've seen her from something. But most of the time when that happens, I Google it. But I didn't bother Googling it until I just found out out of nowhere.
I only Google it when I really, really, really can't remember. It's like, I must do it myself.
Yeah. Oh, no, I genuinely just could not remember. But then I didn't Google it because I was just enjoying the show. And only after... Neil telling me, it's like, you didn't realise who that was. I was like, who? It's like, because don't get me wrong, he knew it was someone from Star Trek, but he couldn't pin down who it was until he Googled it. So he doesn't get any cred from me for that. Google's a cheat. No, it was Michelle Forbes. It was Ro Laren.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. She is in a lot of things. She was in 24 as well, which I really like that.
Yeah,
in fact, there's quite a few Star Trek people in 24, to be fair.
And I was, it just made me think, I was just like, how did I not recognise her? But then I was like, okay, this was filmed like 25 years after TNG, and she doesn't have ridges. And
so doesn't have a Batman costume on.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. She wasn't. I'm Bat Laren. Sorry, just a random fact that if anyone
Michelle Forbes, I've had the same thing so many times with Star Trek actors where you're just like, I know that person, and you're like, oh god, he was in like 3 Star Trek episodes, but like just leaves an impact on you.
There was another one that we watched over Christmas. That was it was a really, really corny but funny, like cheap movie about a woman who basically like this guy who's now married, got kids and stuff, and is estranged from his mother. She comes back into his life and turns out she's actually like a bit of a psycho and killing people and tries to kill his wife and stuff. And it is one of them films that I don't think it's actually intended to be the highest of caliber. But it was an enjoyable enough movie. And the killer nanny in there, the killer gran, was Nana Visitor.
Oh, wow. I think I'll have to watch that at some point. If you'd said lots of other different names there, I would be like, nah, I'll give that a miss. But because it's her, I think I'd have to watch that at some point.
Yeah, so I can't remember what it was called, so you have to check her IMDb, but I was like, oh.
Sure.
Because they had put it on, and I was like, I know her.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, sorry, just she's derailing the pod.
Literally, she's held my son up for me.
Oh. Well, yeah, and she's a lovely lady.
Yeah, really nice. Yeah. Definitely. Very nice.
Definitely not a killer.
No.
No, as far as we know.
Yeah.
So I derailed everything. I do apologize.
Oh, do you know what? I've got to bring up, I did think about bringing it up on the podcast earlier on for 2 seconds. And I was like, God, that's not even worth mentioning. But I'm mentioning it now because you've said that. When I was on Netflix earlier on, we were just looking for new stuff to watch, stuff to put on the planner and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big fan of Westerns, Western movies, whether it's from the 50s, 60s, 70s, well, especially 70s sort of time.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of really good modern ones as well, because they're very gritty, a lot more dark, and the special effects are a lot better if they're done well.
I watched Brokeback Mountain.
There's still, I've not actually watched that. I've only watched clips of that, funnily enough. But no, there's still some very shit ones being produced now, just like there always has been, to be honest. Because I think a lot of directors and producers just think, oh, it's easy. Let's just get this half decent actor and put it together. Someone will buy it. Someone will watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I saw an advertisement on Netflix where you just scroll along and it just shows you a brief trailer. And I was watching it and I was like, oh, I don't recognize who that is. Don't recognize who that is. And I saw one actor and I was like, is that Icheb? Is that Nanu Dubanu or whatever his name is? No. I was like, I think it is. And I was like, I should probably give that a miss.
That's going to be really bad.
Yeah.
If there's ever an indication of how bad something is, if Nanu Dubanu is in it.
Yeah, I didn't stick it on my list.
Nanu Dubanu.
But I may have to look it up and, see if it's worth giving a chance. But as soon as I saw Icheb, I was like, yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. Yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Oh,
Sorry, Icheb, if you're listening.
Yeah,
I'm sorry for never...
Well, saying that, he's got plenty of time. He could be.
Yeah, he might be. I mean, he does email me sometimes and just fucking watch my stuff, will you? You're the people that are supposed to be supporting me.
No. We've heard stories, you fucking pig.
But anyway, it's late at night, like it always is on this show.
No, never.
And we haven't even really started. So we're doing Enterprise, The Forge, Season 4, Episode 7. Part 1 of a three-parter. We ready?
Take us away. Engage.
Okay, I'm engaging. So we start off, and I've taken notes, by the way, audience.
Oh, no, so we've fucking come prepared! Prepared, boys.
Yep.
Look, Darren, you're getting even more on that notepad.
Yeah.
Remember?
I was just thinking about that. eBay it's nearly full. Yeah. So 7 years ago on Vulcan, and I've just written someone, because you don't see their face, someone finds an artifact. And I'm just going to say here, like, because I'd not watched any
word.
Star Trek. Yeah. It's according to my six-year-old. That's the sort of word he'd use. I haven't watched that for ages. but yeah, I haven't watched any Star Trek for months, really, at this point. And just in the first 5 minutes, I was just like, I love the way... I said this on the first Trekmate I was ever on, where, like, I love Star Trek Deep Space Nine. It was 7 seasons long. It's got loads of great characters and all that stuff. But for me, Star Trek Enterprise, like, I think it would be my favorite if it had gone 7 seasons. Because I think that on this program, they'd really mastered everything for me. Like, characters, character development, lighting, music, camera angles, atmosphere, CGI, just everything. Like, they've just mastered it over the years, over the decades, and I just think they knew exactly what they were doing right at that time and put all the money they could into it. And I just felt that in the first 5 minutes. I was just, oh, this is a nice, warm, cozy feeling of, just not the vibes that I get from what we've seen in recent years.
I think you're right, because you've got to think at that point, it's the only season running at that time, and TNG would have started like 14 years earlier or something. So it's just been a culmination of that machine getting more and more well-oiled.
That's how I feel, yeah.
Yeah. I
totally
agree.
They got everything right on this program. I really do.
That's it. But also, they... Enterprise was so loyal to as much as everybody used to shit on Enterprise.
Yeah, which really surprises me.
Yeah, it does. And for possibly mucking up the continuity and whatnot, I thought that they were very, very faithful to the timeline. Yeah. They never fucked about with it.
I would love, actually. I mean, I must have done this at some point. I can't remember, but I'd love to go through and watch all of Enterprise again and then just say, sod it. I'm just going to watch TOS straight after it and just see how that feels. Just see if it feels like it links up properly and makes sense. But obviously, you know, it's there all the way through. Like, that's one of the things I liked about it, how it does have elements of TOS and then elements of real life history that we've seen, or our parents at least have lived through, you know, with space travel, witnessing this stuff on the news and the TV and stuff. And I think it's a really good balance of the two. And it made it feel more real to me than any Star Trek, to be honest. And it's especially, you know, like the interactions between the humans and the Vulcans, and the way the Vulcans doubt the humans because they're so fresh to this space exploration and stuff. And a lot of that is, we're in season 4 at this point, but it's still going on in this story arc we've got going on here. And I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Shall I carry on with the story, or?
Yeah. Yeah, because so far, just in that tiny bit, it was like 17 years prior, and it was just showing someone. No, 17, wasn't it?
I think it was 7.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It was in the past.
It doesn't matter.
Just like finding some like statue from Suruk.
Yeah.
Who's the father of logic on Vulcan.
That's right, yeah. So we cut to a scene where we've got Admiral Forrest, the human, and Ambassador Saval, and they're just walking and talking, and they got some interesting dialogue. But like, the main note that I wrote down is that Admiral Forrest just sort of, like, he says, you know, after their chat, like, and I really like this stuff, he just says, are the Vulcans afraid of humans?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is a really fair comment to make. And I love the interaction between these two at this point, you know, because they've been going for 4 seasons, a lot of episodes, a lot of interactions.
And also, by this point, you've seen the Vulcans be really shady to humans a number of times over things.
I was just going to say, Saval admits it and just says, yeah, basically we are. And it's because you remind us of us. And like, we're really ashamed of our past. And, you know, he says it took, 1,500 years to rebuild our civilization, our culture, whatever, after all the embarrassments of all the fighting and stuff that they did once upon a time, all the stuff
before then heading into space.
Yeah.
But humans, you've done it in 100 years. You've gone from like your last big war to now being a part of the interstellar community within 100 years.
And I'm just going to speak for hundreds of thousands of Trek fans here. I just wish we were in that period right now instead of the period we're actually in, where we're in the bloody, you know, wars and riots still going on, just humans embarrassing themselves right now. But I'm not going to talk about that.
No. But also, it did... The notes that they were hitting is still just as relevant today as they would have been back then.
Yeah.
Because it just hits all of them, like, right, relevant notes about the xenophobia and fears of, like, other cultures, like, watering down. Because, as you said, the Vulcans, they said that they can't, a lot of Vulcans can't quite figure out what to make of the humans because like they can be untrustworthy, like the Andorians. They can be just as angry as Klingons, but then they can be as logical as Vulcans. And as you said, they remind humans remind them of Vulcans. So that's what scares them because
that's their history.
Yeah, exactly. Because they used to be right evil bastards. So,
and the sort of irony, I guess you could say, of this whole scene is that just as this nice kind of chat is happening, there's an attack, a bomb basically going off. We see Admiral Forrest basically jump on Saval and just save him. And unfortunately, that's the last we ever see of the poor geezer.
Yeah, that's the very last time that we see Admiral Forrest. And to be honest, it's one of them things of there aren't many, if you look at all of Trek history, there aren't many nice, likable admirals in Trek history.
No, and so, he really is, yeah.
Yeah, so Forrest definitely is like the best of the bunch when it comes to Admiral.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. Nice guy in real life as well, from what I've listened to on the Trekmate podcast before I actually even joined. I don't think I've met myself, but through Trekmate, I feel like I have, to be honest, with you and Paul meeting him once upon a time.
Yeah,
and just what I've heard other people say. Just like a really nice guy, from what I can tell.
No, I'm currently
Vaughn
staring
Armstrong,
at...
isn't it?
Yeah, Vaughn Armstrong. I'm currently staring at his autograph because I've now like framed up some stuff finally.
He played like about 5 or 6 or more roles over the years. He's in Voyager, Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
TNG, I think.
The autograph that I've got from him is a picture of him on Voyager where he plays the Romulan scientist that beams over from...
Yeah.
What episode's that called? It's not Message in a Bottle.
If it's not that, it's something like that. Like, people listening will know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Here right now, too much.
I'm not sure if that's the like a snake through a tube episode.
I think that Garrett Wong thought it was, but it was actually a different one. And it would make sense that it was that one.
because it was a micro wormhole.
I've not listened to their podcast either for a while. Delta Flyers.
I think I'm about 8 episodes behind on the Delta Flyers.
I'm way more than that. Wherever I was when I saw you last, that's where I am now.
But do you know, listen to it. Though, do you know what? I was listening to, I actually listened to one of Larry Nemechek's shows last week, one of his YouTube Trek Tuesday shows. And he mentioned something quite interesting on there that I wasn't aware of that I am now going to check out. The fact that Connor Trinneer and Dominic Keating have started a podcast together.
Oh, wow. So on Enterprise, I presume.
I presume it's on Enterprise.
Oh, that would be great. Honestly, if you said just any of the cast of Enterprise, I'd be in on that.
Yeah, so as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, that might be one to listen to, especially because how much we love Enterprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, I'll definitely look into that.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Carry on, Jude.
Okay, so scene skip. We're on Enterprise, and they're playing, everyone but T'Pol, basically, is playing basketball. Then T'Pol walks in the room and just says, like, everyone stop, and, you know, I need to talk to you, Captain Archer, and takes him to one side. And then, like, obviously we as the audience know, like, it's something serious and she's about to tell him something really serious. But I wrote down in my notes something that just really made me laugh, which I think you could easily miss because of the serious scene you've just seen and you know what's coming next and stuff. But Dr. Phlox says a really funny line. I don't know if you picked it up at all. Did you?
Oh, playing basketball.
Yeah.
What was the line? I would have picked it up.
He says something along the lines of, at first, like, oh, I really enjoyed that game of basketball. I've not heard of it before, but I really liked it. And he just says it's very similar to this game that we play on my planet, and I don't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But then the quote, which I actually wrote down, and he says, except we're all fully clothed, yeah, which is probably for the best.
Yeah.
Which I just thought that was really funny. The idea of, like, all the things that could have gone wrong or right if they hadn't been fully clothed, sort of thing.
Oh, no. It did make me chuckle.
Yeah. Oh, I love Phlox, and just the idea of, you know, even though he's, like, so professional on the ship, the fact that, like, you know, he just makes it sound like his race is so promiscuous or whatever you want to say, just so randy, like, just so much stuff going on. Yeah.
Like 20 husbands and wives. It's a very fluid planet.
Just like, oh, we're just playing basketball, but it's just going to turn into a massive orgy.
Yep.
That's what happens. Not?
Yeah. That's just how it goes down.
We're sweaty.
That's a 10-pointer.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So just as a side note, their podcast is called Shuttle Pod.
Oh, that is a shit name, but I'll still listen.
Yeah, Shuttle Pod, all one word. Oh,
God, I could have come up with about 10. I'm sure people listening right now could come up with about 10, 20 better names than that, but I'll give
not it a even, listen. Not even the Shuttle Pod. It's called Shuttle Pod.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was hard to find. I couldn't find it by just typing in Shuttle Pod. I had to...
I'm surprised they didn't call it Trek Mated, mate.
Yeah. That's.
I would have let them
off.
It
was right there. It was on... Yeah. It was right there.
Yeah.
But, yes. And I had to actually search for their names in my podcast finder to find it.
And how many episodes are they in?
Two.
Oh, two. Okay.
Two episodes.
I wonder
and
if you can change your name after the fact that you've registered.
Yeah, you can.
Podcast. Yeah, I think you can end up doing that, to be honest.
Yeah, you can. And you can then change
Shuttle
it on.
Pod.
Yeah. There must be better, like, quotes in Enterprise.
Is it just because
they
were in
admit.
That one episode together where they're just in the...
Probably.
It's only one episode.
Mate, give them a tweet. Just say, like, look. Like, love the show, but you can change the name.
Yeah.
Don't feel tired. Don't feel married to your name.
Read alert. So, tuckered out.
Read alert would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Read alert. Nah, whatever.
Okay. I've sent you a link to the podcast just to make your life easier.
Yeah, yeah. Cheers, buddy.
Yeah.
One
thing I did want to say, though, is watching this, the one bad thing I've got to say about the episode is I miss the season one intro music.
Yeah, but I love them all. I love the progression.
I'm not as keen on season four music.
I think I like the first as well, but like,
it's
just fun seeing the difference over the years. But I think I've said it on the pod before, like with the music and the name of the show, it was always strange how it felt like, I don't know if it's the producers or whatever you want to say, but like they didn't have confidence in certain aspects of the show, the name, the theme tune, like they regretted it and like, oh, we've got to change this, we've got to change that. And it's like, don't worry about it. You know, there's so much right about this show.
Mm-hmm. And by the end of it, people love that theme tune.
Yeah, I like all the versions, but yeah, I'm with you. Like the first one is the proper one.
Yeah.
Like it's just, they're trying to make it too lively, too much going on. And it's like, there's no need really at that point.
No need to be that chipper.
No.
Especially considering like the last season three is a really dark season. And then season four has its dark moments as well. Don't be so chipper.
They could have gone the opposite way really, couldn't they?
Yeah. You could have been that optimistic in season one. Not now.
Just take out the drums and the bass and
maybe
even get the vocalist to re-record it like a bit more depressed. Like, oh, I've got faith, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm
going to carry on with our story. So we get Archer's captain's log and he confirms that we've got a death toll of the previous scene of 43. Which is not nice, obviously, and but we've lost Admiral Forrest, which like, it's a real shock. It's just like, you saw him jump and save Saval, but you didn't know that he was dead. Like,
no,
you don't see it.
I mean, when I first watched it, I wasn't expecting that whatsoever. I mean, hell, Jude wasn't even expecting it on the rewatch until I spoiled it for him.
Yeah, you really did. I was like, did he? Oh my God, I completely forgot. I don't remember that.
Yeah, see, who knew spoiler alerts were still relevant like 20 years after the fact.
Yeah, but they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Archer is basically told or asked or requested to be on the investigation team, and that T'Pol's going to join him. Mm-hmm. And I apologize to the Trekmate listeners because there's a character for the next three episodes that I'm just going to refer to, unless Wayne keeps correcting me, as Administrator Evil or just Evil Vulcan. Because I was watching
generic evil.
I watched part three of three, which I'll try not to reference too much, but because no one's saying his name, like I had to just write him down as Evil Vulcan.
Do they just call him what?
They call him Administrator something, but I've put him down at first as Administrator Evil.
Mm-hmm.
But I will just refer to him as Evil Vulcan from now on.
Fair play. I'll let you off with that whilst I Google his name.
Sure. He immediately accuses the Andorians when speaking to T'Pol and Archer, and it's like straight away, like even if I hadn't just seen part three, you're just like, don't know if I believe you, mate. You look a bit dodgy. You sound a bit dodgy. And we've seen previous episodes to, you know, we've already got that doubt. And I've just put in my notes, bollocks.
And also, yeah, and basically, also, like straight away, Archer's not buying that because he's like, look, why would they want to do that? And evil guy, et cetera, says, well, they don't like the fact that humans and Vulcans are close and we're in conflict with them. And Archer's just turned and said, well, we've made it perfectly clear that we're staying impartial. And they've always respected that.
And Archer and Shran have done a very good job of making a connection over the years. Over the, I guess, 3 years at this point.
Yeah.
So Archer's like, really? Is that all you've got? Like, is there no other potential people that have done this? Suspects, sort of thing? And that's when we first hear the name Cyrenites.
Mm-hmm.
Who we learn are Vulcan separatists, or whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people who don't live by the like the normal
accepted code or whatever.
Yeah,
but they live by their own interpretation of Serac's teachings or whatever. Yeah. And then they mention what's his name, Siran, who's the current leader of the Cyrenites, and how they disagree with the current government and blah blah blah. And then they sort of insist that Archer, he's the one who's got to lead the investigation of the crime scene itself, because the embassy's not on Earth, but it's some owned thing. Or...
No, basically, I think embassies work the same here, as in like is in the same in like on Earth now, like in England, like a embassy of a different country that is considered a part of like the American embassy over here. That little piece of land that we've given them for the embassy, that is considered American land. So
it was an Earth embassy, basically, and that's why you're right. I get it.
So because it happened on the Earth embassy, that's considered land owned by Earth, and that's why they're saying they have not investigated it. They've just cordoned it off, kept it there. Go, like, knock yourselves out.
Yeah.
Just so you know, to answer your question, the director for this one was Michael Grossman, who I don't know, but.
I know the name. I've heard the name before.
Yeah, he has done a whole bunch of stuff. I can't think off the top of my head what other episodes, because he's probably done more Enterprise, but then he's also done Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, different stuff like that. And also, he was the assistant director on the 1990 film Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, maybe that's where I know his name. I absolutely love that film.
Yeah, so it might be. But
it's one of my top movies.
I only bring that up because the second part, which neither of us have watched yet, is directed by Roxanne Dawson.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's nice. Okay, well, I look forward to it anyway, but yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, okay, sorry. Carry on.
Okay, so we skip to another scene here. And I'm really sorry. I can remember the actor's name, but I can't remember the character's name for some reason. What's the name of the pilot? We've got Reed and Anthony Montgomery. Mayweather, that's his name. What's it? Mayweather's his second. What's his?
Travis.
Travis. Yeah,
Travis Mayweather.
I was just like, I literally just left my page blank. I was like, what the bloody, how can I remember the actor's name but not the character's name? But yeah, Mayweather. So Reed and Mayweather.
Ensign, I was born in space.
Yeah, I know he was born in space. I remember all his details. I just couldn't remember his name. It was weird. But they find a bomb, basically. They're doing the investigating of their own.
Mm-hmm.
Reed sort of does some sort of scan of it and sees that there's some Vulcan DNA on there.
Mm-hmm.
And he even says, before he does it, he says, like, oh, if I'd made this bomb, I'd make it so if it gets scanned, it blows up. And then he's like, I'm just going to scan it. It's like, what?
that kind of went against humans are quite logical. It's like, yeah. Okay, then this is probably going to blow up if we scan it. So let's just give it a go.
Yeah, fuck it.
We're already balls deep in this, Mayweather.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it, luckily for him, it gives him a nice little countdown. As a,
it does, rather, yeah. It's very
rather than
handy.
Just setting him off, yeah.
And in typical dramatic style, they manage to beam out just in time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's I don't know if it's them or yeah, I think it's them. They see that it's the DNA of a Cyrenite called T'Pau.
Which I know we know, like knowing how we was just discussing how Star Trek ties in, but do you know T'Pau introduced here, but obviously timeline wise, I mean, not actual in Star Trek, but T'Pau does actually appear in Star Trek again.
I recognize the name, and I was racking my mind, like. Where do I know that name from? What does she do later on? And I couldn't remember.
She is the Vulcan that kind of plays referee, like presides over the fight between Kirk and Spock in the episode A Mock Time.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So they cherry picked a character out of TOS, history that like we don't know hardly anything about, like just yeah. She's some important elder
and, oh I like that though yeah
and give her a bit more good. Of a yeah a backstory so absolutely love that
yeah cool yeah I look forward to rewatching that episode when I'm ready when I've done the full mm-hmm. rewatch so Archer ends up speaking to the evil Vulcan and co, or at least the people working under him. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds out that they already were given a number earlier on of 43, but we now learn as the viewers of the program that it was 12 Vulcans, 31 humans died, unfortunately. But as soon as the Vulcans learn that T'Pau, the Cyrenite, was her DNA was found. They immediately want to push Archer out. They don't want him involved in the investigation because they're just like, okay, now it's in Vulcan territory because you found Vulcan DNA. You're not involved. Yeah. And he's just like, hang on. This sounds
like
odd.
You've done your part. We know who done it now. And that should be enough for you. Like you can be on your way now.
Yeah, it was very dodgy, you know, watching it for the... I felt like I was watching it for the first time. Mm-hmm. And you know something's up there. That's not right. Like, you should be working together at that point to work out what's going on. And they're clearly hiding something.
Mm-hmm.
But we do skip to another scene, which also features Archer. And he is basically just walking around the, I guess, 43 coffins.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we've talked about regarding Enterprise before, where for me, and I know for you, because you've said, like, more so than any other Star Trek series at that time, it feels a lot more real when people die. Like, even if you don't know their names, like, it just... sort of means more. It's not just a random extra who's just being killed and we don't talk about it. It's like, it means something. People are sad and upset and, you know, they take it seriously. And, you know, you feel bad for all these people. And obviously you feel really bad for Admiral Forrest, who you've got a connection to. And you can see for Archer, he meant a lot to him. He's like some sort of uncle or father figure or something to him.
Well, that's the thing. We've seen that relationship build over years. And also, like, I'm pretty sure they knew each other before Enterprise left as well, if my memory serves me right. But as you said, deaths in Enterprise carried so much more weight, I think, than obviously when main cast members left and they killed off them characters, they would always give that weight. But general is
not always. We're doing a rewatch of Voyager and Harry dies like twice and Janeway's just like, let's carry on. Yeah. He'll be back next week somehow.
Oh my God, they killed Harry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much what it is.
But it's like with Enterprise, I don't think they even killed a single crew member until like maybe season two.
Yeah, and it really felt like it meant something when that started to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, season three, everything went down the shitter for loads of crew members, but the weight was there. So no, you're totally, totally right. And that's when we get that another good scene between Saval and Archer there.
Yeah, very nice, where he's saying, you know, he meant something to me as well. Like, this means something to me, this alliance between humans and Vulcans. And, you know, we've been building something, like we butted heads once upon a time, but we've been making progress. And
also just sharing Forrest's wishes, like his dream of like Vulcans and humans becoming closer and working together more.
That's right, yeah.
And Archer with determination.
Which I do love that. I do love that story in Enterprise and Star Trek in general, but it's a great alliance, you know, when they're doing it properly.
Yeah, exactly. And that's when Archer's like, well, we can't let it die with Saval. We've got to carry it on.
Yeah.
And that's when...
I think Saval says, like, there's... no sense in the Cyrenites being the suspects here. Like, doesn't make any sense. And I've just put, we need to support each other or support.
It was at that point, it was just like, look, it basically, like the underlying reading between the lines was him saying, well, look, things smell fishy. Don't just accept what Administrator Velas is telling you. Just go and like investigate everything, double check everything yourselves.
Yeah, that's right.
Because also a thing that we forgot to touch on, when they found out that it was the DNA was from T'Pau, that they also mention like is she a criminal, like how do you have her DNA on file? And T'Pol tells them that, oh no, all Vulcans register their DNA at birth, so they've got a record of all Vulcans that are born, so they can
I didn't write that down or even pick that up at that time, but that does come into play in a bit.
It's dropped there. So it's just like in the back of your mind.
Right.
As well. So, yeah, carry on.
So we skip to another room, still on Enterprise, where T'Pol gets visited by a husband who, you know, they aren't really together properly. They're just together on paper. But he basically tells her that, that her mum has asked him to visit, and that's the only reason that he's there. And he's completely innocent in everything. He's got no bad intentions or anything. He's just trying to do the right thing. And he basically passes on what he believes to be a family heirloom or whatever you want to call it. And
that is what he says, yeah.
But
Reveals to T'Pol that her mum is a Serenite as well, which T'Pol had
Yeah. And that she wanted to pass on the heirloom because she's been taken away or she had to run away.
She's had to go to hiding.
She had to disappear.
Yeah.
But what he doesn't realise himself, I think they called it is it an Idic or something like that? Which is actually like, it's like a 3D.
Infinite diversity and infinite
combinations. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's actually what they called it. A 3D map compass projection thing comes out of it, which is pretty cool.
Which reveals like it's a map of an area that Vulcan uses as a pilgrimage.
Yeah.
A pilgrimage to like seek whatever the teachings of Sarek or something like that. It's where they go to go and become wiser.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Basically, Archer realizes that him and T'Pol have got to go down there. It's just what they got to do. So Tucker's left in charge of the ship. And Archer just basically says, or literally says, don't trust any Vulcans apart from the two that you can see in this room right now, which is T'Pol and T'Val. And and they beam down.
But also they can't just beam into where they think these people are hiding because of
they weren't originally going to beam down at all, but then T'Val helps them somehow.
But basically, it's like this area that they're going into has like natural electrical disturbances or something that then stop anything electrical working. It's like a natural dampening field that stops anything electrical. So they have to beam in near it to then walk in. But so look, the Vulcan administration don't know what they're doing. Saval had got them details of timings of when Vulcan satellites and sensors will have just moments that they will be able to beam in during, like just where like satellites are on the other side of the planet and whatnot. So be able to get in undetected.
I actually wrote this a lot later on, but I'm just going to mention it now instead. Particularly when it's daytime on... are they on Vulcan?
They are on Vulcan.
It is on Vulcan.
They're on Vulcan. Yeah.
I love the look of it. The sort of... Not just the CGI of what we see in a bit, but the... I guess it's still CGI. The effects of the sky, the way it's all made to look orange and stuff. I'm guessing it's their favourite location that they... always use of Las Vegas, Nevada desert or whatever. What do they call it? What's it called? The area they always go.
I should know this. It's on the tip of
my tongue. I know it, but yeah, same here, but I've just forgot it right now.
This is bad.
A bunch of people shouting at us in their
phones. Loads of people are going to see. This is why we don't trust these guys. I can't even fucking remember.
Well, we know where we just can't. It's nearly 2 o'clock. It's gone 1 o'clock.
It's not Death Valley. It's not
something rocks or
Vasquez Rocks.
Yeah, that's it.
Got there.
I'm presuming that's where they are. But in this Enterprise episode, it looks great. It looks better than it's ever looked. They keep doing these shots where they're sort of like shooting up from the floor. And like the sky is all orange behind them. It just looks really nice. But sometimes we're in the daytime and sometimes it quickly changes to night and they're stalked by one of the Salot things, one of the Vulcan pets that they love, but this one's massive. And I love the look of it in CGI. I know it's not perfect, but it's just good enough, I think, for this time.
CGI was just getting better at this sort of point.
Yeah, definitely.
But also, I think, if I remember rightly, because I know in the comics he did, but I'm pretty sure it was mentioned in TOS that it's also an animal that Spock also had as a child.
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't just in the comics. It's in the animated series and stuff like that.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
It was in the fucking animated series. We watched that episode together.
And they have to run up that T'Pol basically claims that the higher you go, it won't chase after you, but it will wait for days for you.
Yeah.
And we'll come back to that in a minute, but we skip to back to Enterprise. Reed, Tucker and Phlox. And Phlox basically just tells them, you know, this DNA is from T'Pol, but she was a baby. This is baby DNA. This is not adult DNA. This is very old. This is like over 30 years old or something, whatever it was.
Well, that's the thing, because it's like T'Pol is meant to be about, I don't know, 36.
Mm.
But this DNA, because there's certain markers that you can work out how old someone is, and this is markers of baby DNA. So this has been planted.
Yeah, so dodgy stuff. But also we learn that that he has a patient. And his patient is Corporal Asquith, I think it is, who's a human who was a witness to some of the stuff that went down in the embassy that day. So he's going to play a part later on. But back down to Vulcan. And Archer and T'Pol are saved by a mystery Vulcan who we all know who he's going to be. Whatever his name is. Leader of the
Serenites. He's going to be a good guy. He's going to be one of
Saran,
the Serenites.
Is it Saran or Saran, something like that? It's obvious that that's who it's going to be. And
I think his name's Erev.
No, it's not. Why have you got a Rev?
Because that's what I'm looking at Wikipedia, and it just said.
No, he's Saran.
One second.
Because he's the leader of the Serenites.
Google.
No, don't Google. Just take my word for it.
Okay, yeah, you keep going.
All right. Well, they're saved by him, but like he's still a bit sort of like cold towards Archer, where he's like, oh, your Vulcan friend can come with me, but you can just go home. You don't belong here, sort of thing. And Archer's just like, oh, no, I'm on a mission to learn the ways of the Vulcans and stuff. And he doesn't really buy it. And it's interesting to see once they set off on their little adventure walk, how like Archer's trying to do his captain thing, looking after his crew, saying like, take the water, you know, take my hat. And she's just like, I don't need your water, I can go without water for days, and I don't need your hat because, or your glasses or whatever it was, sunglasses, because I've got inner eyelids. And I just thought that was funny.
I thought that was a great detail, because I'm not sure if it was mentioned before that Vulcans had inner eyelids.
No, I don't recall it.
I don't recall that, but it is just one of them little things that just makes absolute perfect sense in a planet as harsh as Vulcan, with so much like sunlight like that they would have inner eyelids.
And just the fact that they've been around for longer than us, and you know, evolved for longer than we have had that chance to do that.
Oh no! Okay, looking at the IMDb page, he says his name is Erev, but he's really Saran.
He's telling Porky Pies, yeah.
Yeah, he's telling Porky Pies.
He asks Archer a bunch of questions, basically just embarrasses him, because you know he's saying that he's you know, learning the ways of Vulcans, but he seems to know fuck all when he's been asked questions. And then out of nowhere, we get a sand fire, which sounds pretty nasty. Like, anyone's going to want to run away from that, which they do.
Yep. Don't need to tell Archer twice.
No. No, you wouldn't need to tell me twice, to be honest.
No. That's it. He's gone.
So we're back on Enterprise. And basically, it's Tucker who suggests to Saval, like, you do a mind meld on this guy. I know you guys do that. You can do that. Like, work on the patient that's in a coma. Didn't actually mention that before. The human that was a witness, he's in a coma. So the only way to get information out of him is to do a mind meld. And Saval's like, oh, no Vulcan would do that. And he's like, you do it. And long story short, he's like, oh, all right then.
You convinced me.
Yeah. Okay, so back to our sand fire on Vulcan. They run into a cave. We learn that Saran is Saran. And he tells T'Pol that, like, yeah, I know your mum. She's over there somewhere. Basically, we see Saval and T'Pol both trying to save everyone, sticking rocks up by the entrance of the cave
to stop like the lightning coming through.
They both end up getting zapped. And
Saran's injuries are quite substantial.
Yeah, so much so that he's thinks he's going to die, or he does die. I'm not quite sure. But he decides to do a random meld on Archer.
And starts talking in Vulcan.
Yeah, so random that I think after it's happened that Archer doesn't even really realize it's happened, because he's like, I think he punched me. I think he knocked me out.
Yeah, no, it took so much out of him. Because mind melds are meant to be like very like energy consuming, like they can be like quite physical things, and this one seems to have just like knocked the wind out of Archer, and he's being brought back round from T'Pol, where she finds that Saran is dead, and Archer mentions like he said this in Vulcan. I can't remember what it was exactly, and T'Pol goes, oh, that means remember. And he's like, remember what? Which I thought is, once again, a lovely nod back to Star Trek II, the Wrath of Khan.
Nod back, or future Echo, if you want to do it chronologically.
It was to Wrath of Khan and...
yeah, but that's what I mean. It hasn't happened yet, technically.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying, I know what you mean. And I just thought it's... Once again, just a lovely nod. All of the Trekkies in the room going, I know that.
Yeah, and I love that too.
He's got a catra.
And I think in Enterprise, they did it in a good way. And I think the way they do it these days is just desperate and bullshit. Mm-hmm. Sorry. That's just my opinion. That's just the way it comes across to me. I'm Spock's sister. Fuck off. Anyway, I just realized we missed a mini scene. Saval does his mind meld on the comatose guy, and he decides to, him and Tucker decide to reveal it to the evil Vulcan. And then he immediately just says, right, you shouldn't be doing mind melds. You're going before the High Command. You've committed a crime.
Yeah.
But after the zapping scene of everyone else on Vulcan, we find out that Saval is actually, he's pretty cool with the idea of going in front of the High Command, because it means he actually can try and reveal the truth. Like, even though he doesn't know who's bad and who's good, it's worth a go. Like, what else can he really do for his people? And then the rest of my notes are miles away in my little book. So I can't remember where we are.
I don't think there's actually too much more in this episode.
There's a little bit more. I've just got dozens and dozens of notes in here on other episodes, not just Star Trek episodes, but Trekmate episodes. Mm-hmm. So I apologize. Can you remember where we go next in this?
I'm just trying to think. He found out. Ah, wait, that was it. At this point, we then go back to Enterprise, and it's after. When they were talking to you're going to have to go before whoever. Saval revealed that it was the Vulcan guard who was working with the guy that was actually the one who planted the bomb.
Yeah.
And they said, that doesn't, because it was from a mind meld, it doesn't hold up. There's no.
Yeah, it's inadmissible or whatever you want to say.
Yeah, it's inadmissible proof. So. And then at that point, I think that is pretty much it.
I've taken some more notes. Just let me find them. I cannot find them in my little book, but I know there's more to it than that.
See, and we was doing so well, being so prepared.
Well, we still sort of are. Is this it? This is Kirsch Ara. This is
The one that we're going on to.
We don't want to go there just yet.
Okay, I'm looking through Netflix and I'm currently watching the episode.
Literally
the only thing that happens after that is Archer and T'Pol leave the cave and end up getting met by they find that they're going through like the caves and Archer knows where to go. Inexplicably,
yes, that's
knows
right.
where he, to go. And yeah, then walks through a wall.
He's basically taken on all of
Surak.
It's not Surak. Saran's.
No, but he's got Surak's Katra in him.
Okay, yeah. But T'Pol doesn't get what's going on, and he's even sort of like saying, "Oh, I don't need any water." You know, he's saying the same stuff she said earlier on. And she's like, "You're not Vulcan, you know. You are human." And he's like, "Oh yeah."
And then after
like
he's walked
in between,
and after he's walked through the wall, he's just like, "Stay calm. Don't react." Yeah. And then they get jumped by the Sirenites.
That's right.
And that's where we leave it. That is the cliffhanger.
I think you're right, yeah.
I know I'm right. I just watched it on Netflix.
In fact, I think maybe that's why I didn't bother to write any more notes, because I'd run out of pages at that point, and I was like, oh, there's only two more minutes here. Wayne will remember it.
Yeah.
And he did. Well, so well done.
Not really. I had to watch it again on Netflix.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That counts.
Yeah.
That counts. And I have to say, such a strong episode. So enjoyable.
Very. And part three is a good part as well, but I won't talk about that. But I look forward to watching part two in the next couple of days. And
I'm looking forward to watching both of the next parts. Yeah. So, but I'm going to leave off and watch them in order, like a day before we talk about it, so it's nice and fresh in my mind.
Yeah, I'm so good to go very soon for that and get it out there for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And I feel good.
Like, I know it sounds silly, but I think I was saying it on the last Trekmate episode where I was eager to get back into watching some proper Trek, and now that I've done it, like, it feels good, and I'm eager to do more. And I almost, at this point, I think I've already said it already, but I just want to do my whole Voyager rewatch just so I can start an Enterprise rewatch.
Yeah, just get it done so that then you can get to Enterprise.
Yeah, I don't want to just stop watching one and go to the other because I just feel like I'm cheating in a way. But we can talk about Voyage again soon. But
yeah, maybe easing in, like if you just commit yourself to okay, I'm going to watch at least one episode a week, and then like maybe move it up to okay, then I can fit into.
I'm happy to start doing that. Yeah,
and then just. Like then at least keeping that momentum going.
But yeah, so today has definitely proved for me that like there's so many hours worth of Star Trek, good Star Trek, where it's easy to sort of forget or half forget these episodes and go like, oh yeah, God, I forgot about this. I forgot about that and really enjoy it as if you're watching it for the first time again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, absolutely. And when it has been so long, as you said, like some bits are like totally fresh and then others come back like a nice warm memory. And I love Enterprise and this really is a strong one. And by the looks of it, it was rated strong back in the day as well. Like it was
it?
Like given, it seems to have got like 8 out of 10s around the board, which is like always a pretty good mark for TV episodes. So yeah, and that's it.
I think Enterprise is Star Trek at its best. I really do. I feel like this is an example of like all the different departments of the Star Trek staff at that time, Rick Berman and everyone underneath him, just like this is everything we've learned how to make Star Trek the best it can be, and paying respect to what's come before, not just chronologically, but you know, in our actual timeline sort of thing. And yeah,
absolutely,
it's awesome.
It is. So yeah, no, if you want to watch along with us, the next episode that we do, we'll be discussing the second part in this story,
which Wayne's just looking up right now, because...
is Awakening.
Awakening.
Awakening is the next episode. So, and then it'll be followed by Kishara. So, I'm looking forward to watching that and getting on. And also, I'm going to download to the awfully named... listen to the awfully named Shuttlepod podcast now as well.
Yeah.
That might be an in, is to listen to the Shuttlepod podcast and just watch that episode. Like, go along with that.
Shuttlepod podcast. They could have at least called it the
Shuttlepod podcast.
Couldn't they?
Shuttlepodcast.
That would even be better, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. No, see, Shuttlepodcast. What a name that is.
It's a little bit better.
Yeah.
Not a great deal, but a little bit.
Don't get me wrong, it's no Trek, mate, but still. So I think we all need to tweet at Shuttlepod, because it's not even the Shuttlepod or Shuttlepod podcast, it's just Shuttlepod.
They could have done better, but yeah, let's let them know.
Change your fucking name,
or just make them join the Trek Mate family.
It's been a while since we've had
someone come on board.
Yeah,
you've been trackmated, mate. For real.
That's it. I'm trying to think whether that was Dominic Keaton or whether that was the guy who plays Travis Mayweather.
It was both. They were doing it together.
Yeah. I was who came up with the you've been trackmated, mate.
I think it was Dominic, but I can't.
You reckon it was Dominic?
Can't remember what Anthony Montgomery says. I think he just says like you're listening to track.
Oh no, it was Dominic Keaton.
And it's Dominic Keaton who says that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. You're right. Well, there you go. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. It's it'd be nice to get back to watching some Star Trek.
Oh, definitely. And I really look forward to carrying on. I really do.
Yeah.
It's good to be back.
Definitely. Back on a roll. So we'll see you again next week. I've been Wayne Emery.
I've been Jude Hawkins, and you've just been Trekmated, mate.
You think you know when first contact really was? Well, think again. It was back in 1957 in a small town in Pennsylvania called Carbon Creek. Four Vulcans crash-landed after watching Sputnik punch. Flip, going down to Carbon Creek. Let's see who we can meet. Going down to Carbon Creek. Let's see who we can meet. Zat, I Love Lucy on the TV. What about the Three Stooges? Oh yeah. Helping at the local pub. Watching baseball with my bud. Helping at the local pub. Watching baseball with my bud. Live long and prosper. Someone said the de-stress call.
Listening to the Trekmate podcast. Would you like to get a hold of us? Visit trekmate.org.uk and boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry, we will get to the bottom of this.
Ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses, I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
I am Captain Jean-Luc Picard, and I approve this message. Tweet us at Trekmate1701. Make it so.